for this evening, the 7th of November, we're going to be in Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, and verses 14 through 17. We're going to close out this chapter, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. And I pray that God would allow us to get to enter into this, what's going on here. Of course, we've talked how this whole book is a beautiful love relationship between Christ and His spouse, which would be His elect, would be us, the church. But we have the church in verses 14 and 15, which is called His dove. Christ calls us His dove. We are entreated to fellowship. Verses 14 and 15, we are entreated to fellowship. And my prayer as I was writing this up, and for you and for me as well, is that we may lose ourselves in the blessed tones and language of this Solomon's song. These verses here, just outstanding. They're incredible. He says, O my dove, Christ is speaking, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. He says, let me see thy countenance. And he says, let me hear your voice. For sweet is your voice, and thy countenance is comely. Let's just stop there. Our blessed, adorable Redeemer calls for us. He beseeches us to fellowship and converse with Him. Now, as I was looking this over, and I've been looking this over for quite some time, and I don't really have it written down here in my notes, but the reason why this is absolutely is so amazing to the believer is because we know whom we have believed. We know by the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of grace and supplication, He has revealed Himself to us. So we know whom we love. We know whom we believe. This is a relationship, as I like to call it, as eyes wide open. He knows us, and we know Him. He who is sovereign. He who is pure. He who is absolutely righteous. No error, no fault, no spot or blemish upon Him. This is the one who speaks these things to us. Sinners. Vile. God haters at one time. But now in love with Him. Why? Because He first loved us. But it never ceases to amaze the believer. It never ceases to amaze me that He desires to see us. He desires to hear from us. Because you know as well as I do, if right now when you're listening to this message, 5 minutes before you came in here, sometime in the middle of the day, sometime last night, you know that sin is ever present with you. You know, and I know how what I am capable of. I know that if God does not hold me by His grace, I'm going to fall as fast as I can. I'm going to dishonor Him. I'm going to, you know, I feel over and over again like Peter, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So taking all those things into account, we look at this passage again and see, he says, he calls us His dove. And he says that we are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. He says, God Almighty says, let me see your countenance and let me hear your voice. And that, if that wasn't enough, he goes one step further and says, for sweet is your voice and your countenance is comely. Now we know that such things could not be said about us naturally upon our own merit, our own worth. These things are said because we are in Christ. And that's our first thought. We're in the cleft of the rock. We are in Christ. Christ is that rock. And we are tucked in with Him. We are in Him. We are His people. He calls us His dove. We're in the cleft of the rock. That means we are safe and secure in Christ Jesus. We are hid and protected by His righteousness, by His sovereignty, by His majesty. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. How can it be that a sinner, sinners such as you and I, transgressors, full of iniquity, how is it that we can see God's face and not die? Well, it's the same way Moses was able to do so and God not kill him instantly. Look at Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 through 20, through the end of the chapter. Moses is speaking with God in at the burning bush. He's speaking with Him. Up in the mount. And He says in verse 18, He said, "I beseech thee, show me your glory." Exodus 33, verse 18. Moses said, "I beseech thee, show me your glory." And He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee," the name of the Lord, everything about Him. Everything about Him. Who He is. What He's done, what He has done, what He will do. That's how we know who He is, by His name. "And will be gracious," here's His sovereignty, His sovereign mercy, sovereign election, sovereign grace. "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." You can't separate these things from the name of God. And He said, "Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Because He's holy. "And the Lord said, behold," verse 21, "there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." But I want to emphasize verse 22. He says, "I'm going to take you, and I will," God says, God Almighty, "I will put you in the cleft of the rock." Now back to our text. Christ says, "O my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock." You're in me. That shows protection. That shows safety. That shows mercy. That shows grace. But my thought here is the only way that any sinner, that you or I, can behold the glory of God without being annihilated is to be placed in Christ Jesus in the cleft of the rock, just to be set in Him. We sing that song, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and He covers me there with His hand." We're in Christ Jesus. The only way that we can behold God in His glory, the only way we can understand Him as He's preached in the gospel, the only way that we'll ever be able to adore Him, come to Him, worship Him, desire Him, is to be placed in the rock. Do you want to know what salvation is? Do you want to know what is involved in the honoring God and satisfying His holiness? Do you want to know what it takes to go to glory? It is to be placed by grace in the cleft, the bosom of the Son of God Himself. And the way it's worded is so beautiful in Exodus, that He says, "I will place you outside of ourselves. I, God the Father, in covenant mercies through the Son, will place you where there will be fellowship, where there will be beholding of my glory." God doing all the work for us because we could not do a thing ourselves. In Christ, all is well. In Christ, all is well. We'll go back to our text. In Song of Solomon, in verse 14 again, he says, "Thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs." He says secret places. That is, places which are hidden from the world, hidden from natural reason and wisdom. Because we, by our own ability and by our natural thought process, and by we cannot be raised in the truth and therefore absorb the truth. We do not have dormant or latent faith, and then all of a sudden it's there and then it gets watered and then activated. No, it's a supernatural act of God Almighty. It's being placed in the rock. Being put in a place where we were not before. That is the secret place. Places that are hidden from the world. The world doesn't understand this gospel. The world doesn't understand Christ and Him crucified. It does not understand the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ for His chosen people. It doesn't understand how God can be just and justify the ungodly. The world doesn't understand the depravity of man, how vile and corrupt we are from birth. No, everybody thinks there's something good in us and it's just waiting there to be cultivated. He says the secret places. That's because it's hidden from the world, it's hidden from natural reason, it's hidden from our wisdom. Yet, to the believer, it's plain, it's open, and it's clear, all in the face of Jesus Christ. God has nothing to do with any sinner in mercy apart from Jesus Christ. God cannot be understood. This book cannot be understood except in Christ. In Christ. And then continuing on in verse 14, notice the entreaties. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Let me see you. Let me hear you. Oh, when I see that today, after I got done with work, which I got done pretty early, doing some things, and I thought to myself, there's so much to be done, and yet oftentimes I do things without thinking of Him, without giving praise to Him, without giving honor to Him, without even thinking of Him. He says, let me see you and let me hear you. Communion and prayer and praise and song and you know, see us as we are gathered together in His name. And then He makes an astonishing statement. He says, not only do I want to hear you and I want to see you, but your voice is sweet to Him. And our countenance is comely. Sweet and comely is the church, called His dove, the bride, because we are made so by divine supernatural mercy. Now, Melinda and I were talking just a little bit ago, and seemed to be more recently about getting older. And no matter how much we doctor things up, no matter how much we do, this body is decaying. This body is decaying. But Christ doesn't look at this body. He sees the heart. He sees the soul. And it is, and we are, sweet and comely. Beautiful. We're beautiful because we have been clothed with His perfect righteousness. When God sees us, He sees His Son. It's truly amazing. Well, then in verse 15, we are exhorted to remove all hindrances that would, we are exhorted to remove all hindrances to the fellowship and communion with our God. Look at verse 15. We're exhorted to remove these things. To take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. These times when we gather together, and you know, I've heard John make this comment, and Betty, and everybody, I've heard everybody we talk, and it's so, to this pastor, to me, it's so refreshing because I know what we've gone through. I know what we've been through before. And we've always reminded one another, never forget what God has done for us. Because humanly speaking and worldly speaking, this church should not be. This church was ripped up, tore up, and left for dead. Couldn't find a pastor. All these things were against us. But God was for us. Tender grapes. Fellowship. Preaching the gospel. One another. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Remove any hindrances. Foxes, those things which have a tendency to sneak up and rob us of our peace and comfort. And you, your mind might be going right now, you know what those are. World, riches, things, promises of grandeur, etc. Promises that the world makes and can't fulfill. I'm so glad the election stuff is over. Promises. Promises. We had a whole new set of promises. We'll see. But you know what? I'm not going to let all that stuff, as disappointed as I am on the outcome, I'm not going to let all that stuff spoil what we have right here. I'm not, by God's grace, may He help us by the Holy Spirit to have a watch set at the door of our hearts that we not allow envy, money, lust, promise of comfort, promise of ease. May not let these things hinder us or rob us of the peace and comfort that we have in Christ. And that, this is so important to me. This is so important to me. Because, and I see this when I go to these conferences, and we have these preachers come in. Not anybody, but these preachers who preach the gospel of God's grace. They're not just talking it, they live it. And they love you people, and I love you people, and I don't want to see anything come between that. And that's why if something happens to me, I was telling this to a couple of pastors out of Cherokee, something happens to me, Bruce, John, Matt, you all know enough of these preachers where you could pick up the phone and call them and say, we need help. And they would do it. They would do it. I know when we first got this thing started, when we thought God was in it and seemed to want to stay together, Bruce and I were so concerned about compromising. We didn't want to compromise the truth because we were concerned about how much we knew of the truth. We knew the truth, but as far as skilled and teaching, somebody could come in and make, you know, kind of... But my concern is, one, to keep the truth and honor Him and the preaching of the gospel, but take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, not allow anything to hinder that. To hinder that. Verses 16 and 17, we see the church's declaration of unity and love. Verses 16 and 17, now the church says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. He feeds among where His church is, where His gospel is preached, where two or three are gathered together. My beloved is mine, and I am His. And until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn my beloved and be like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethar. Don't leave me. Don't depart from me. I don't want this time of communion to ever be broken. Turn to Romans chapter 8. My beloved is mine, and I am His. What a love relationship between us and the Son. I was thinking the other day, if it wasn't by God's grace, I would not have a clue as to what this is even talking about. Still be steeped in false religion. Thinking I was doing God's service, trying to win souls. Romans 8. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? My beloved is mine, and I am his. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, famine? How about nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present or things to come, nor height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because John chapter 15 and verse 4 says, Christ says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. We're in him, he in us. That's why the church can say, my beloved is mine and I am his. There is a union like nothing else. The wedding that's coming up, I'm thinking, you know, more and more about this. It is so set apart. It is so held in such high regard in this book, because it's a picture of what we're looking at right here. The love that Christ has for his people. It's particular. It's precious. It's with purpose. Forsaking all others. That's part of those vows. I've been looking those over and retyping them up and everything. Forsaking all others. Exactly. And will Christ demand less? No, we would not want it so. Because he stole our heart. He has our heart. We can say with the Solomon here, my beloved is mine and I am his. By covenant agreement, by divine purpose, by specific predestination, by union and resurrection in Christ and with Christ. He says he feeds. He feeds among the lilies. He feeds with us. He feeds his people, his church, where he is spoken of and where he is worshipped. That's why it's so important to gather together as often as we can in remembrance of him. Because he feeds among the lilies. It doesn't have, there's no prerequisite specifically the size of the building, the shape, the color, etc. Though we'd like to maybe try to do some improvements and adding on things like that. That would be great. But it's all for naught if he's not with us. But by God's grace, we believe he's here. His name is honored. And so we go forward. And then he says in closing, verse 15, he feeds among the lilies, he feeds with us until the day break and the shadows flee away. Basically what he's saying here, I believe, is stay with me evermore. Do not depart, because my soul could not bear a departure from me. We couldn't handle it. There's a lot of things that you and I can do without. There's a lot of things that you and I could do without. I know we think we need a lot, but there's a lot of things that you and I could do without, but we cannot do without him, his gospel, and one another. The sheep got to mingle. The sheep hear his voice. The sheep follow him. And where he's spoken of, that's where they want to be. But one day, we will be completely united with him and without division. And I say, as the Apostle John did in Revelations, hasten that day, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I am my beloved, and he is mine. We love him because he first loved us. And he give us grace to, as I said in my first comment, to enter in to what's going on in this book. Whether I preach anything else from it the rest of these Wednesdays or not, may we see and read as we go home and look at that relationship. and see how special it is and how absolutely wonderful it is. And you see, like, time passes by and troubles just pass by. And all these other things that we get so worried about and so caught up with, we're cumbered about with much serving. But may we do that needful thing. Sit at the feet of Christ and worship Him. Bruce, would you close us, please?